Welcome to The Firehouse, the show dedicated to the brave men and women who serve our community.
Hello, and how's everybody doing today? I am your host, Chris Moses, and today, sitting with me in the firehouse is, I don't even know how to start this up, man, because this is my mentor, bro. Y'all don't understand, this is my mentor. So sitting in the firehouse with me today is Cameron Peake. What is going on, brother?
Hey, what's up, Chris, man? Thanks for the introduction, brother. How you doing?
I'm good. I cannot complain. Like, this is special to me because this is one of my mentors. For my listeners, this is someone that, you know, when I got in the fire department and the fire service, I knew nothing. And he was one of the guys that took me under the wing and showed me. And everything that I know now is because of this guy sitting right in front of me. So thank you for that. But talk to me, brother.
I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you. How you doing?
I'm good. So let's start with just talking what department, which I already know, what company, and this is the volunteer because he's also a paid fireman.
Right.
So tell me a little bit about volunteer. Tell me a little bit about paid.
All right, so I'm a member of the Uniondale Fire Department, Brookside Engine Company 2, a.k.a. the squad. I've been in Uniondale, since I was 19 years old, and I'm also a member of the FDNY Rescue Company number 2, which I've been there the last 15 years. I got 23 years on the job in the city.
Wow, look at that, 23 years job. So let's go to volunteer first. How long did you say you were in volunteer?
So I started at 19, so that puts me at 26 years
yeah. in the volunteer service. And what ranks have you held?
So I've been a lieutenant, captain, and ex-chief. I've been a chief, and then, I call us ex-chiefs.
Yeah, so you've done it all. And then how about in FDNY?
So I'm a firefighter, but with that, I'm on the FEMA team, the USAR team for, the federal government, which is New York Task Force 1. I'm a dive instructor with our dive unit. I'm a adjunct instructor at our rescue school, so I kind of got my hands.
You got your hands in a little everything. And I've always wanted to ask you this, and I'm pretty sure the listeners would want to know. Like, you said dive instructor, so where does that come in with the FDNY? Like, where does that come? I mean, we do have lakes, ponds, and oceans. So where does that come in, and how does that?
The city is surrounded by water, right?
Yep.
So this is something we deal with, right? People end up drowning, boats, stuff like that, jumpers off bridges, all kinds of wild stuff. So in the FDNY, there's 5 rescue companies, 1 per borough. So all of the rescue companies are divers. So you have to be a diver to be in a rescue. I got into it recreationally back in 2005. I got the rescue 2 in 2009. The captain, you interview with the captain one-on-one, and he found out I was a diver. I wasn't scared of the water. And it just kind of rolled from there. I hit the school, did pretty good at the school, and said, hey, you want to be a dive master? Went to dive master school, and then now I'm an instructor.
So, wow. Do they don't have anything like that in volunteer service out here.
Yeah, they do. I think Long Beach has a dive team. And some of the other, I'm not sure, I think Freeport has a dive
definitely
team as well.
Definitely has a dive team.
And then Nassau County PD dives as well. So, yeah.
That's pretty dope. All right, so let's start this up. We said 26 years in volunteer. How many in FDNY? 23. 23 years in FDNY. What makes you wake up at, you said 18 you started?
Yeah, 19.
19 and say, I want to run into a burning building. Like, what? Where does that happen? Walk us through where that happened and how that started.
So it's a long story. Actually, you know the person and the people kind of involved. So I just come home from the military, sitting around like, all right, what am I doing now? Got back into college, whatever. And my boy Harold Long, and his mom went to a recruitment event at McDonald's in Uniondale. And his mother was like, hey, I want you to go check out this fire department, the Uniondale Fire Department. And I'm like, what's that about? He goes, yeah, it's volunteer. I said, hold up, you running into burning buildings for free? He goes, yeah. I was like, you bugging, bro. So whatever, I had a car. I drove him at the time. I didn't even know where the firehouse was. Lived in Uniondale pretty much my whole life between here and Queens, right? And we drive to the firehouse. We meet the recruiter, and we start talking to him. And I'm like, man, this is pretty good. Like, I'm interested. I walked in and saw the fire trucks, and I was hooked. The apparatus floor. I walked in and was like, yo. And so he's talking to me. He thought I was like 16. He was like, oh, you could join the juniors. I was like, how old you think I am? I was like, I'm 19, bro. He was like, oh, you could join here,
Okay.
And that was it. Never looked back, man.
Never looked back from there.
Never looked back.
Wow, man. That's crazy that you walk in, and I know how that feeling is, walking in, never being that close to a fire truck.
Yeah.
Right? To a fire engine, to be that close, and then all of a sudden see it, and it's like, now you hooked.
Yeah.
Now I want to know what's going on.
And after my first fire, and then you could relate. it's an adrenaline rush like none other. And it's hooked. Like, and you know, yeah, the cliche, I like to help people. Yeah, which is true. You know, we do this for a reason, right? It's a calling. But that adrenaline rush is different.
It's no joke. It's funny. We were talking with Eric Turner, which is another firefighter that, you know, you guys will hear his story. We were talking and, talking about our first fires. Mm-hmm. And I was telling him, for my first fire, I was actually with a friend of ours, Renan Axius. Mm-hmm. And that first time being on that lawn, I'm on the lawn, scotted up, fully sucking in air. And he looks at me like, what are you doing, buddy? Take it off. We even get to the door.
Rookie mistake.
Rookie mistake. I get to the door and he disappears into the smoke.
Yeah.
And same thing for Eric. It was like, these are our mentors. I was comfortable to follow him.
Yeah.
I wasn't scared. I'm like, well, let's say this. And this is what we were saying. Everybody should be scared.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I want to say. Any firefighter, and this is for everyone listening, any firefighter tells you they're not scared,
they're lying.
That's not true. They're lying. Listen, you run into a burning field, of course, but that shouldn't hinder what you do. And that's something I learned from you.
You suppress it. You suppress it. And there's different levels. Like when you're a new guy, like their first, you know, it could be a quick 2 cents fire where I'm like, all right, we got this, let's go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, where he's nervous and I'm like, you know, you go in with a little kind of, you know, you got to be safe at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, like, you know, the gloom and doom fire where I'm like, whoa. But it's still true. Suppress it. Your training takes over and you got your brothers and sisters in arms with you and you go do what you got to do.
Go do your job.
That's
and
it.
Go do your job.
Yeah.
All right. So I want you to walk me through a typical day. First, let's do the volunteer services.
Mm-hmm.
A typical day, as we know, if you don't know, you've been listening, Sunday is our day at the firehouse.
Right.
So Sunday, walk us through a typical day on a Sunday. At Brookside, Company 2.
All right, so on a Sunday in Brookside, I usually get there like 8 a.m. You know, guys will, we'll either go to the deli real quick or guys will bring food and donuts or bagels or whatever, and we'll kind of, you know, eat, have something, and then you start cleaning the firehouse, right? You got to take pride in your home, right? So we'll come in, you know, you'll vacuum, mop the floors, clean the bathrooms, you know, clean the rigs, wash the rigs, clean the apparatus floor. Usually, it's about 9:30, 10 o'clock, we kind of wrap all of that up, and then usually you head out for training, and then we do like a training from like 10 to 12.
Okay.
You know, and then like football seasons, I did get in the firehouse like 8 a.m. You know, we do training from 10 to 12 and then 1 o'clock, we're hanging out watching football together. You know,
until 1 o'clock
game, 4 o'clock game. And then the 9:30 game, I want to get home at like 11, 12 o'clock. You know, when you have kids and the responsibilities down the road, it's a different story. But in your early 18, 20, you know, 20.
You're there.
Yeah, you're there. You live there. I was scared to leave the firehouse. Like back then, I'd be in college and I'd do my homework there and everything because I would be afraid I'd miss something. I didn't want to miss anything.
And that's how it is because it becomes part of your life. I remember that. Like being scared, like, oh, I can't leave. Or you're at work and then the phone's going off. Where you at? We're on our way there. And it's like, oh,
I'm stuck at work. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. So.
But those trainings, I remember those trainings. I remember those trainings with him. Like, remember, you know, when I joined, I was a little older than most. So I was like 24, 25.
Yeah.
But I still was out clubbing.
Yeah.
And there was no excuses. There was no.
Yeah.
I remember, which is so funny. I don't know if you remember. I remember being in the club on Saturday night,
mm-hmm.
I want to say somewhere on Hempstead Turnpike,
okay.
We're at some club. Mm. I was with you there.
West Hempstead.
You left,
yep.
Came back to the club, put your hand in front of my face, said, smell that. There was just a fire. I don't remember where it was.
Wow.
I don't know why I didn't go or whatever it was, but I remember having you there.
He wasn't
you're leaving, huh?
Yeah, he wasn't focused.
I guess not. Because you left 4 hours later, you come back, you're like, we just had a fire. I was like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
But either way, that Sunday morning, you had to be there.
Uh-huh.
And you had to do what you do. I remember literally throwing up on the roof of Omni from being out all night.
I was drilling in the summertime or whatever, and I'm like, oh, I don't care that you're hungover. Like, this is what we're doing.
None of that matters.
Yeah, I was in the same boat when I first got there, you know, coming to the firehouse with sunglasses on a Sunday morning. Like, I do not want to be here.
But you got
to
do it. You got to do it. Plus, when you love it, you want to be there. You want to do it.
Absolutely.
So, all right. So, that was volunteer. As FDNY, walk me through a typical shift, how that works.
So kind of similar. So FDNY, the shift start at 9 a.m. in the morning. So a day tour is 9 to 6 p.m. A night tour is 6 to 9 a.m., right? So a 9-hour day tour is 15-hour night tour. So on a day tour, I'll come in, you know, usually everybody brings something, bagels, bacon and eggs, whatever. You come, cook, whatever, you know, between 8 and 9. Kind of everybody gets there like an hour early usually, right? come in, have breakfast. Usually 9 o'clock, you go to the rig, the lieutenant or the captain or whoever the officer is has roll call. You get your positions. Mm-hmm. Then you check your personal equipment. So you put your gear.
So wait, back up really quick. Mm-hmm. Get your positions.
Yeah.
So that's something we don't do in the volunteer service. It's your wherever you land is where you
yeah,
land.
Kind of, yeah, so the volunteers, the way we kind of do it kind of on the fly, right?
Yeah, we just like, hey.
In the back, like you got the.
You got this, you got this.
You got the backup, you got the door, you know. So at work, you have an assigned position for the entire tour.
Okay.
You know, the board, the officer writes it down on his, it's called a BF4, it's a piece of paper, keeps in his pocket and on a computer now. That, so God forbid something happens, the chiefs know immediately who was in that position, who's in that riding position for the day.
Okay.
At every company throughout the city.
Okay.
So, yeah, so at 9 a.m., you know, we do roll call, you get your position. For us, it's can, irons, hook, roof, chauffeur, and officer. Right.
Okay.
And so you check your personal your gear, you put your helmet, your gloves, whatever, your coat, where you sit, check your mask, make sure that's good. And then we go and check the company tools, like the collective tools. So every day there's like a mm-hmm. compartment of the day. So we check that depending on what a compartment is. Then you go into something called committee work. Cleaning the firehouse.
Okay, right? same kind
of deal.
Thing.
Okay. Clean up the firehouse, you know, all of the common areas, you know, wash the rig, same thing. And then in the process of all of that, you're going to runs in between. So,
okay,
sometimes it'll take an hour to do committee work. Sometimes it'll take 3-4 hours because you're running all day, you know, going to emergency.
Well, you still got
to
get it done.
And you still got to get it done. You know? Okay. And, you know, and then, you know, somewhere around 12, 1 o'clock, you go look for lunch. You either cook or we go out and get lunch. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, come back, same thing. You're running, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've been in the middle of eating. And guess what? The tones go off and you're out the door. The bells go off, right? And then, you know, 5 p.m. rolls around and night tour comes in and they kind of 6 o'clock kind of do it all over again.
And they just do it all over.
Yeah.
Wow. No. I love that, though. That was one thing that I love about the firehouse is the camaraderie. Absolutely. Everybody eats together. Everybody's together, mm-hmm. you know, no matter what. And again, I mean, we're running into something that's real, like, you know, could kill you possibly.
Absolutely.
So you want to make sure that you can at least sit and eat with the...
That's all the thing with, like, team building type stuff, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Like, breaking bread together. I mean, you know, you're risking your lives together. You know, you got to sit down and be able to eat a meal together, you know? And or on top of doing things outside of the firehouse, you know, like social things, you know, with family or whatever. So
I love that. I love that. So I got a question for you. Listen, 26 years volunteer, 22 years paid. I know you got some stories. I know you got some stories.
Yeah, there's a few.
So I need at least two good stories. At least two good stories.
So two good stories?
Talk to me. Two good stories.
Oh, man. Good. Well, I don't know if this stuff is...
You know what? Let me start.
For radio.
I got a story
okay.
with me and you. It was on, I want to say Dale Place. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I think it was Lamont.
Okay.
Fell through the floor.
Yeah, Christmas morning.
Christmas morning, yep. Falls through the floor. Mm-hmm. I'm in the living room, I believe, or was the kitchen, or where it was. He comes, I'm sitting here, and he's boom, straight through.
Yep.
All I remember is seeing him down, and then I see you look over out the hole, and you're looking down in the hole, and that's when you hear the maydays, and everything.
Yeah.
But I am nervous. Now, I'm bugging, and you come down, and the level of calm on your face, literally, just so you know, calmed me down.
Yeah.
And mind you, you're scotted up, but I can see your eyes, and I can see peak is calm. I can relax because I'm like, he just went through the floor. This is going on. Oh my God!
Yeah, I was.
John fell at that time.
Yeah, I wasn't even the first guy to him. I think if Darrell Riddick. Remember
okay.
Darrell?
Yeah.
Darrell,
and
it's funny, Darrell works with me now in Rescue too. We met at 18 years old and out here, and now we work together.
Wow.
So yeah, it was Darrell. Renan was there.
Yep.
Yeah. So
everybody.
It just happened to be like all of the kind of the right people were there. Perfect. So yeah, it's kind of crazy how that happens. But yeah, you got to kind of maintain your composure in those situations. And that was, you know, I don't even remember how many years ago that was at this point. But
a long time.
I've grown since then and evolved and had way more experiences since that even, you know. So
and that just for our listeners and our people that want to join the volunteer services, that's what it's about. It's about, you know, being with those mentors and mm-hmm. being with those senior guys and learning from them and knowing that you can trust them. And
right.
Even just your brotherhood, just knowing that you can trust them. But
so,
again, I need some stories.
Here goes a funny story. I'm gonna put myself out there. When I teach and stuff like that, people go, you got to put yourself out there to kind of make it real to the people. So I was maybe right off probation. We were hanging out at Venice Fire Station right here next to Hofstra.
Okay.
And a fire call came in behind Venice, like the block behind. I forget the block. It's me and Harold in there. We race down to Brookside, go get our stuff, jump on the rig, fly back, signal 10, working fire. And we jump off the rig, and it's a dead end block. We're running down the block, and I get halfway down the block, and I'm like, I forgot my helmet on the rig. So I remember JT looked at me and kind of laughed, like, "You're out, bro." I'm like, right. So I remember running to Company 3's rig and grabbing a spare helmet off of their rig. And I remember we get the line on the side, we're about to make a move, and one of the senior guys, Artie Werkel, I'm throwing him under the bus right now. He looks over at me. You know how the camaraderie and kind of like the infighting that people don't see of, company pride and stuff like that. Engine 2, Engine 3, truck rescue. He looks over and all he sees is a guy with a helmet with a 3 on it instead of a 2. And he's like, "Oh, this guy's trying to steal a line from us." So I go to pick the line up and move in, and he slams me against the wall and, like, pancakes me into the wall. This guy was, like, 300 pounds at the time. I'm 190 pounds.
What are you doing?
Like, what are you doing? I was like, "Hey, Artie, it's me. It's Cameron." He's like, "Oh, sorry, kid. What's that helmet on your head?" I'm like, "I left my helmet on the rig."
Mind you, this is going on in the middle of...
Yeah. Like, we're making moves. Yeah. But, fire went out. Nobody got hurt. But that was kind of, a funny story. Like, I'll never do that again. An aha moment, It's funny. You learn from making mistakes, right. And you just want to hope that those mistakes aren't too detrimental to anybody,
Which is scary, even when you say that. Learn from your mistakes.
But, yeah.
I mean, mistakes are made anywhere, but everywhere. But in a fire, being a firefighter, those mistakes could actually cost you your life.
Absolutely.
But it is still scary, just to hear you say that. Like, listen, you learn from your mistakes.
Yeah.
But that's anything. Any job that you do.
Yeah, anything in life. Yeah, that's life, right?
That's life.
So. Yeah. That's one of them. But, obviously, we're not going to go here, but, obviously 9/11, we're not going to talk about that. But Hurricane Sandy. Hurricane Sandy was pretty wild. I was working in the city at that night, Rescue 2. And there were fires everywhere. You guys know the deal. Everybody here listening heard, saw what the city looked like, I went to multiple fires that night, multiple second alarms, which is like pretty big fire. We went to Staten Island, Staten Island was underwater. I ended up diving, scuba diving in the basement, looking for a gentleman that had drowned in his basement. Yeah, so that was pretty wild. So here I am, in my firefighting gear going to fires, and next thing we're jumping on the rig, and I'm changing out of that, putting on a dive suit.
And this is all in one night.
Yeah.
It's only one 24 hours.
It was one night.
How did that work, though? Like, did you end up being there 2-3 days straight? Was it just your shift and you?
I think I came in that night. I think I worked the 24 or the day tour and the night tour into it, and then I went home. Yeah, the next shift came in, and they took over, and they went to fires and emergencies because, once the water receded, the power, electrical lines and stuff like that. So it was a pretty wild time for the city.
So I got a question. Mm-hmm. Being a firefighter is high stress.
Yeah.
Very high stress. So how do you, with high stress, you get people that are, everybody got this and this person is feeling this way. Mm. So you kind of start bumping those heads. You're laughing, so you must know what I'm talking about. Uh-huh. So how do you still maintain that camaraderie with, and this is volunteer or FDNY?
Yeah.
Like, how do you still maintain that with the high stress, with dealing with that, with Artie Werkel banging you up against it?
Right.
Like, listen, like, how do you deal with that stress?
So like anything, like, the firehouse, the fire service is a family, right? Mm-hmm. Families fight, right? Everybody's families, there's arguments. You fight with your brothers and sisters and whoever, I still fight with my big sister all the time. I'm like, "I'm in charge." She goes, "I'm older than you." I was like, "I don't care," But, when, you have a disagreement in the firehouse and then the bells go off, the tones go off, you got to put that aside and take care of business for the greater good, right? We're there to do a job, and that's what the people are asking or need of us, right? And we got to just do it. We got to put all that aside. And be honest with you, there have been times where, at work in Uniondale, I've not seen eye to eye with a person that got on the rig mad. And then all of a sudden, you got to flip the switch, and it's like, next thing we're working together as a team, seamlessly. So sometimes you got to put that stuff aside, and just hash it out later on.
Figure it out later.
Yeah. It all gets figured out.
And not like going in a fire to make you now friends.
Yeah, all of a sudden, like, yo. Right, you're like, yo, bro, see that thing blew when it blew out the door on us, man? That was crazy, So, yeah. Like you said, that has a way of kind of making you forget about any kind of differences, Life is too fragile.
It is. It really is. Yeah. It really is. So we got people that are listening here that, are in, some people that, want to join. want to become a volunteer or even paid,
right.
People that are volunteers that want to become paid, what advice would you give to either side?
Okay, so on the volunteer side, it's just, you know, just put yourself out there. Come down, you know, go to your local firehouse, you know, headquarters, wherever, you know, and just talk to somebody, ask, like, hey, how do I join, you know? You know, in our place, you got to do 25% of the alums. There's a lot of schools you got to go to, primaries, essentials, you know, whatever schools that, you know, your department has, you know, that specific that they want you to go to. It's a lot of work involved the first year. I would say don't give up, you know, stick with it. It's definitely the benefits far away all of the other stuff. You know, it's definitely a calling. It's not for everybody. You know, I'd say definitely a calling, because it's not natural to want to go run into danger and run into burning buildings when everybody else is running the other way, you know. So, yeah, I just say, you know, put yourself out there, stay with it, and you know, it'll pay off in the long run. You know, the networking and the people you meet, you know, like all of my friends, including you, you know, my best friend's family are all firefighters. Like, I don't really hang out. Like, everybody, like, kind of, yeah, it's like either that or my motorcycle buddies. And then I look again, I'm like, well, he's a fireman too. Like, Lamont, right?
Yeah.
Right, me and him ride motorcycles together, and he's a firefighter, you know, so.
Right.
And then with the city, FDNY, it's actually funny you asked. There's the filing period for the next test is coming out June 24th to August 9th. Just go on DCAS's website. And it'll get you all the information. You got to sign up and sign up for the test. And or you could follow joinfdny.com and anything on social media, and that'll give you all of the kind of heads up on when everything's happening. But, yeah, right as of right now, June 24th is when the filing period opens for FDNY. You got to be 19 to 29 and a half to take the test. To get on, yeah.
Take the test.
Yep.
How does that work, though? So you take the test, and then how long, you know, let's say, of course, I can't because of my age.
Yeah.
If I decided to take it and I went in there, how long before I get called back? Like, how does all of that?
Yeah, it depends. You know, it's super competitive. I think they said somewhere around 40,000 people signed up for some of the last tests. Like, the test I took way back when in 99, it was a lot of people took it. You know, I was actually living in Queens at the time, you know, and I was a veteran. So you get points for being a veteran. You get 5 points, veterans points,
you know, higher
city residents. Right. Put you higher up on the list. So I tell people you got to score 98 on the written or better.
Okay.
You know, so when I was all said and done, I think I had a combined score of like a 108, you know, out of a possible 110 or 115. I think they started giving points away for legacy, which is, you know, somebody whose parents died in the line of duty in the city.
Okay.
So that was another 5 points. So it was only a handful of guys in my class that had that. So I had a 108 out of most guys. Max score was probably like a 110, and I was 40 on the list. Out of, you know, a lot of dudes. And even with that, I was in the first class, and it took 2 years to process us. Because they got to go through all of the scores. They have to, now you have to, and back then it was like Scantron, so I'm sure it's a little bit faster, but I don't know. Yeah, but, you know, they had to process our scores. Then you had to come and take a physical, like a physical agility test, and if you didn't pass that, you were done. You know, so make sure you're in.
You can't do that.
Yeah, make sure you're in the gym, yeah. Then you got to come for a medical, then you got to come for a psychological, and then, you know, so it's a lot. It takes a while, and then boom, then you're in the academy, then you're in it.
You're there, and yeah. Ain't no turning around then.
Nah.
All right, so listen, we got some time left, but we got to play a game, all right? We got to play a game. I got a game that we call the flashover, okay?
Okay.
So basically, I'm going to ask you a question, and it'll be something like Android versus iPads, and you got to tell me which one you like better.
Okay.
It's quick. You got to just answer, all right? So the name of the game is Flashover. First, before we start, what is a flashover?
That's when everything in the room combusts, hits its ignition temperature, and lights up. So if you're in the room, when the room flashes, you're in a bad spot.
You're going to
get up out of there. Yeah.
All right, so you ready?
Yes.
This is the flashover. So it's going to be movies or TV shows that I'm going to be asking you about.
Okay.
Okay? Are you ready?
Yeah.
I need a quick answer.
I didn't study for this.
You didn't study for this. Yeah. You didn't study for this.
All right.
This is the surprise. All right. Yeah. Here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
Chicago Fire, Rescue Me.
Rescue Me.
Rescue Me, Third Watch.
Ooh, Rescue Me.
Backdraft, Ladder 49.
Backdraft are both great movies. That's funny. Backdraft or Ladder 49.
Which one? Backdraft, Ladder 49.
Backdraft, but I like Ladder 49 for other reasons too.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
We're going to ask about that in a second.
Okay.
And the most important question I'm going to ask you today.
Yeah.
Engine or truck?
The engine.
That's where
it's at, bro. You got to put the wet stuff on the red stuff. The fires don't go out without the engine. There's nothing more gratifying than putting a fire on and having a nozzle. Everybody knows
there
that.
We go.
And I'm not even in the city, I'm in a rescue, so they really don't like us. But, you know? Yeah, the engine.
Here we go. All right, so you know we're going to have to go to that Ladder 49 thing. We got a couple minutes left. So I got a quick question. You know, in the movies, they show firefighters, right?
Yeah.
They show this.
Yeah.
And this is what you do. So what is the most accurate portrayal you've seen, or what is the most exaggerated? So me and we just talked about Backdraft and Ladder 49.
Yeah.
Any of those come into play, or any other shows that you know that's like?
Look,
so let's start with the most exaggerated.
Got to be Backdraft, bro. Like, and it's a great movie because like every firefighter's seen it, and we can recite lines from that movie.
Literally.
You know, you burned them, Steven. You know that kind of stuff. But
in the hospital,
it's out of control. My man, Bull or Axe is running through there, coat open, standing up, no mask. I'm like, man, that dude is gangster. Yeah. Like, hi. He got leather lungs, you know? But yeah, that show is out of control.
Exactly.
Like, it's ladies and gentlemen, you're not walking through fire. No. You know, it's gonna push you to your knees. It's too hot. He would have been in a burn center after every one of those fires. Yeah. So, but you know, whatever. What's, you know, when I first saw it as a young kid, young volunteer fireman coming up, it was the best thing since sliced bread, you know? Ladder 49 was interesting, where same deal. Some of those fires were like, you know, and I'll tell you why after this, but. You know, you go to the fires, and a lot of people will notice from what I've heard is a lot of those fires in the movie Ladder 49, they wanted to do that movie after the FDNY. Mm. And I think the job said no at the time or whatever. They were like, nah, we're not doing that. So they went to, I think it was Baltimore or whatever.
Yep.
But a lot of those fires were rescues that happened in New York City. Like the Roof Road Rescue one was supposed to be after the Patty Bar, Patty Brown, Matt Bar Rescue in Manhattan, you know, pre 9/11, obviously. The Steam League. Where the guys got burned up in the scene, that was Captain Marty Matigue, who's a Rescue 4, Rescue 2 guy back in the day. So a lot of those fires, if you look at them from what I was told, you know, and I, you know, don't quote me, but a lot of those fires in that movie, they were the same, very similar to rescues and things like that happened in New York City.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Okay.
But the thing with Ladder 49 was kind of crazy that I don't think a lot of people realize, like at the end of the movie when, you know, spoiler alert, I hope everybody saw this already, but when the main character dies in the end, he's kind of like trapped and kind of like just basically running out of air, trying to give a mayday, and he's kind of there by himself. That's real.
That's a real situation.
That's real. I was like, wow. So that in that respect for that movie, like, you know, you think about it, all the brothers and sisters we've lost throughout the years in every fire department, man. Like, sometimes.
I have a question. How has, I don't want to say volunteer, I just want to say the fire service in a whole, how has it changed your life? Looking at it, starting from volunteer into paid, how has it changed your life?
Wow. It's, man, I don't want to say it defines me, but like that's my kind of identity, man. Like, you know, like I've been a person of service my entire life. I just think back, like, you know, my son's in the Boy Scouts. I was in the Boy Scouts, you know, came out of high school, joined the military, got out, you know, came home, went right into the volunteer fire department, and then right from there to the New York City fire department. So it's like I'm a person of service, man. You know, it's like one of those sayings. I don't even know what verse it is, but it's like, you know, when they ask to send somebody, well, why not us, oh Lord, you know? Like, and that's kind of how I feel. Like, if something's going down, I want to be there. You know, maybe it's the adrenaline junkie in me or what, but like, that's why.
It's that heart of service.
Yeah, you know, I'm with the FEMA team. I've deployed to Florida, Puerto Rico for hurricanes. And you know, when I left a bunch of times, you know, Hurricane Katrina down in New Orleans. Like, if there's something going on in the world or the country, I want to be involved. Yeah, I want to be there. All right, so for the listeners, you know, the people who are not, you know, the lay person, I guess, for lack of a better word, who don't know about the fire service and things of that nature. Like, you know, we show up when people are usually at, you know, having the worst days of their lives. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, it happens in the city a lot. They're like, hey, why are you coming in here with those wrecking sticks and stuff like that? Like, I want to debunk a myth. We do not just come in people's houses and tear stuff up for no reason.
There we go. I'm glad you said that.
You know what I'm saying? We don't just, there's a method to our madness. It's a lot of science involved. You know, why do we break windows? We break windows for ventilation, right? To get all that trapped smoke and stuff out of there. One, for the trapped civilian that's in the building, right? Two, so the firefighters can move faster in the building and have somewhat visibility, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why all those movies are BS, because a really truthful firefighting movie, you wouldn't see anything. Right. It'd be like lights out. You couldn't see the actor's face. It, you know, turn your oven on to 800 degrees or as hot as it can go. Open it up. Wait till your house gets hot. Close your eyes and crawl around your house. That's what it's like being a firefighter. Right.
Right.
You know, until you see the glow, which really isn't that attractive, you know, not for movies anyway. But that's why those movies can't really portray what it's really
what's really like.
The reason why we break windows, the reason why we, you know, pull sheetrock down off your ceiling, we're checking for extension, you know, so we don't come back an hour later. And now your whole house is burnt down. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I want to debunk. You know, we don't just break things haphazardly and for no reason. There's a method why we're doing what we do.
All right, listen. Thank you, man.
No, I appreciate you, bro. I'm proud of what you're doing here. That's just what's up.
Yeah, man, we got to start bringing some awareness, man, to the fire services. Yep. There's people out there that don't know, and
this is
how they'll know. We start getting it out there on the airwaves, man.
I like it. Hey, man, whenever I'll come back. Whenever you need
you're definitely coming back. Okay. You're definitely going to come back. Listen, don't trust me.
Sounds good.
Trust me. Trust and believe you're definitely coming back.
All right.
But listen, man, thank you for coming through.
Thanks for having me.
Kind of talking,
pleasure.
All right?
My pleasure.
Thank you. So listen, we have just heard from Cameron Peak about his life as a firefighter. I hope you guys enjoyed the conversation. Please like, share, subscribe, do all of those things. Listen, I am your host, Chris Moses. Stay tuned next week for another great conversation in the firehouse.